For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Up in Fort Collins, or the rest of us that root for Nico Medved and the Colorado State Rams basketball team. The Colorado State University and Nico Medved have agreed to a new five-year contract plus two additional one-year options, sources told ESPN. The full seven-year deal would be worth nearly $13 million. Nico Medved has led the Rams to two NCAA tournaments in the last couple of years. Haven't been able to get a win, but they have punched their ticket to the big dance. Stoke, we talked about this a lot because you thought, man, Nico, he's probably on his way out sooner rather than later if he continues what he's done up there for the Rams basketball program, but not so fast. Looks like he's here for 7 years. 5 years really is what it's fully written in, and then a couple of one-year options, I'm assuming, for the coach on the back end. But Nico, hanging around, and now he's got a big job to replace, if they're going to lose basically all their starters there, and have to figure out how to reload up in FOCO. But that's good news for the Rams.
Yeah, absolutely. Congrats to him. And I think, you know, when you have to reload like that, it's good to have the long-term contract, right? So good for him. Glad he's staying. Hopefully he can build off the last couple of years and, take that next step in the tournament.
Yep, that's the next goal. That should be what they get done, compete in the Mountain West, win the Mountain West, and then go get yourself into maybe even the second weekend of the big dance sooner rather than later. All right, let's talk a little Nuggets, Stoke. Let's talk a little bit about what happened Friday night. It was a big reason of concern. And then you let the weekend play out. You see Phoenix take care of Minnesota on Sunday, and you end up with a 2 seed. Was Friday's loss a giant red flag? Did you kind of get over it by what went down Sunday? How do you feel that the Nuggets are the 2 seed?
Well, Friday was depressing, right, watching that game. Yeah. I just never at any point in that game thought they would lose. I mean, no duh, because they're up 20-something points, right? And then Wembanyama, of course, he makes like 3 threes in a row, and then one of them, is a Steph three, and it's like, what is going on here? It's like, this is something is happening here. And then the way that it played out, it's like, are you serious? Like, we just beat Minnesota for nothing. That game was like the game. Mm-hmm. The last two games were going to be easy, cakewalks. And so it was like, this really stinks. Getting to the finals now just became that much more difficult. And then once Minnesota lost yesterday, it's like, all right. Okay, 2 seed, I feel much better about that. Might actually even be better. And if we have to play OKC in the Western Finals, whatever. We'll play OKC in the Western Finals if that's what it comes down to. But it kind of is what it is. We're a healthy basketball team, which is, two thumbs up there. And I'll take our chances with health, with a healthy basketball team over anybody. And I think also you look at Friday and Michael Malone, he's going to bring that up. Like, hey. This is what happens. Yeah. Guys, like, y'all don't bring it. You don't rebound. You don't give effort here and get back on defense. And, look, we can lose to the Spurs. All right? So I think that's also a positive there. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I was mad. I was literally mad about what went down on Friday night. It was an embarrassing loss. Like I said, I think it's a top three loss, regular season loss. Obviously, ending your season in the playoffs hurts a bit more than a regular season loss, but it's a bad loss. It's one of the worst losses in the Nikola Jokic, Michael Malone era because of what was on the line and just how much better you are or were than the San Antonio Spurs. But then Sunday comes. I'm rooting for the Suns. That felt weird, but, they take care of business there, and the Nuggets do fall as the 2 seed. So, yeah, I'm not worried. I'm certainly not upset the way I was. And you can kind of now here, we're going to have 5 days this week. They're not going to play a game until Saturday where you can take a step back and go, all right, they won 57 games. That ties a franchise record for most all-time in the NBA. They were actually better with Nikola Jokic off the floor this year than they were last year. How about this stat, Stoke? Reggie Jackson, Kev's favorite player now, he was a plus 79 in 82 regular season games. We all love Bruce Brown and go, man, how are you going to do it without BB coming off the bench? Bruce last year was plus 31 in 80 regular season games. That's a big discrepancy, 79 to 31. And in the non-Nikola Jokic minutes, with Reggie on the floor and Jokic off, it was minus 5.5 points that they lost by. Last year, that was double digits. It was 10 points that they were losing by when the non-Nikola Jokic minutes. So this team, despite how we feel right now, is actually better than the team a year ago.
Well, I know what that's what the numbers say, right? We'll see what it looks like in the playoffs.
All right.
And there was concerns last year with the bench going into the playoffs. What would it look like? And Michael Malone obviously shortened the bench up there and made it pretty much a 8-man rotation. So we'll see what it looks like this year. But obviously still concerns this year. I don't care what kind of numbers you give me. You're trying to fool me with those numbers. Look over here, and then you go the other way. No, I'm not falling for that. Okay, because all I know is in the playoffs, it worked out perfectly for the Nuggets last year, and I'm just not seeing that this year. Obviously, Christian and Peyton Watson are the young guys, and you got Reggie Jackson in the mix there. Reggie's just got to play better. He's just got to play better.
He does.
And where are you going to get your scoring from when those guys are on the court, right? That's the big thing. Who's going to be staggering with them? What starter? Jamal and who would you say? I mean, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon-ish,
Aaron Gordon.
Right?
I think it's Jamal A.G.
And the problem with that is, yeah, Jamal can score, but no one else can really score with that group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, possession in, possession out. No one that you feel good about, like shooting a basketball. None of them are real shooters. Now, look, I get it. Reggie Jackson can get hot, but he's been struggling. And Aaron Gordon's not a shooter. Christian isn't, and Peyton's not. So that's the problem with that lineup. Now, if you put Michael Porter Jr. in there, he's a shooter.
And Jamal has to, like, you know, pass him the ball.
Well, yeah, that's
kind of an issue too.
Right, that could be a big issue. So that's the problem that you run in there. When you have those three guys coming off the bench, because none of them are like shooters, right? That's you would like to have one of those guys on the court or coming off the bench. So you just say, all right, you feel great about this guy's jump shot. If you leave him open, none of those guys you do.
No, and you can't even do 2-man game with. You can't do Nikola and Jamal stuff with Jamal and Aaron, right? No. He's not going to come set a pick screen for you, little bounce pass, and he's going to knock down the 15-footer. That, you don't want Aaron Gordon shooting that shot.
No.
More often than not.
No, so. You want him going to the goal and doing what he does. You know, that's his strength, is his strength, you know, and getting to the goal.
I'm not opposed to seeing some staggering with Michael Porter Jr. He doesn't. In that role, it's you catch and shoot at all times. He doesn't make himself available for that as much as he should.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just a concern there. So, we'll see. I mean, I'm sure, you know, look, the minutes will be expanded by the starter. So, will Jokic be on the court more during the playoffs? I'm expecting to be on the court a little bit more. You got like 2 days off between every game, right? I mean, I remember there is no back-to-back.
No. I think you're going to get every other in the first rounds.
Okay,
and then
every,
you will get 2 days off as the thing goes on.
Okay, but the first round's just 1 day off.
I believe it's every other, yeah.
Okay. But you have plenty of rest time.
Yeah.
And so you'll see the starters' minutes get bigger and bigger.
Yeah. And it also, you know, just playing basketball.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, take a night off, get some sleep.
Nice hotels, good food, private plane. That's what I was saying when Michael Malone was saying how tired they were at the All-Star break. And it turned out, I think they were.
Yeah. They actually needed some rest, didn't they?
They're getting the rest right now.
That's
right. They're getting 6 days.
6 days.
5-6 days.
To do nothing. Well, they're going to practice, but it's not game stuff. How you feeling, Colorado sports fans? We're not too worried about the Nuggets, but we are certainly kind of panicking over the Colorado Avalanche. What's your panic meter? What's it reading about these Avalanche? Tell us at 303-713-1043. We'll tell you what ours are and react to yours next.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Yeah, I've been throwing down the whiskey. I ought to get my money back.
Get that money back.
Someone said it drowns a man.
Real quick, before we go into Abs conversation, I wanted to ask a question about our golf pool. Congratulations to Stoke.
The one that I won.
The one you won.
Dominated. Like, just flat out dominated.
Well, came down to a tiebreaker. I don't know if that's domination.
Oh, yeah, it did. I didn't even realize that, honestly. No, you know what that's called?
What's that called?
That's called the hustle. See, now Drew's already talking about, because I tied with Drew, and I did win the tiebreaker, and now he's already talking about, we'll do the next major. What's the next major, Drew?
That would be the PGA.
Right. We'll do the PGA. Mm-hmm. All of us will do it again, right? And then hopefully Zach will get in. Phil doesn't know anything about golf. We get Phil in, right?
So let's that's another. Take his money.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So it's perfect. And so that's just like, it's going to be easy money for me. Four times this year. So, but if I blew y'all out, y'all be like, all right, hey, Stokely, you can't join.
Yeah,
all of us because you're too smart and you always win everything, right? That's what I'm used to doing. So,
yeah.
That's why I got to make it close, okay. Which I did. Mission accomplished, and I still won.
Smart. Yep. Smart. That's a smart play. Yeah. This is a question for all of us in the room. Kevin, Drew, Stoke, myself. What if we did this with the LIV tournament? Would we watch? Would us having some bragging rights and some, little smack to talk to each other be enough for us to fully watch? Now, it's only 3 days of a LIV tournament.
No, I'm out.
You're just out completely.
Yeah, I'm out. Y'all can do it. Y'all have fun doing that. First of all, I don't know what channel, like CW or stream. No.
I don't know either.
I was forced to watch one day of LIV. And it was so confusing with the leaderboard because they have team events. They all start on different holes, and it's a shotgun start. It's a disaster. And so, no, I wouldn't do that with y'all.
Okay. Drew?
I don't think I would either.
Really?
No, I don't think I – because I try. I tried watching LIV a couple times, and the golf is good. The golf itself is fine, but it's all the other stuff. You look at the scoreboard on the left side, it looks like a big cartoon that's taking place with the team name logos and all that stuff. And
yes.
Yeah, the shotgun start, I can't get behind. Now, if we're talking like if it was set up like a normal PGA Tour event without the team stuff, when you look at the golfers that are in that league, sign me up.
Okay.
But it's all the other – the circus stuff, I just – like, no, I can't get behind it, so –
Kev?
I'm in. Let's do it.
Oh, Kev's in.
Me and you, Josh.
Yeah. Somebody's winning there.
Yes. $10.
Well, yeah, that's perfect for you two. You guys might have a chance to actually compete.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, let the losers fight it out on the LIV golfers.
Stoke and I are at a whole other level. Yeah. We're doing, majors and PGA.
I didn't text it to you because I figured you guys would make fun of me, so now I'll say it. Do you make fun of me? But I was so close to picking Max Homa. And then I just didn't.
That's what they all say.
Yeah, exactly.
I was on the fence on that guy, and then just last minute I changed my mind. Darn it.
Yeah.
You sound like my kid, right?
Yeah,
well, it's like either you did or you didn't, right? it's like after the fact. Well, I was going to bet that.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to bet that. Like, well, did you? No. So, I don't want to hear it then. I don't want to hear after the fact. I almost took everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, I almost had the winning lotto ticket the other night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Yeah.
But you're at work today with me. So,
I am.
That tells us the story there.
If I won the lotto, I'd still come to work
for
the day.
Yeah, for the day. Just to rub it in everyone's face.
Oh, no. And I wouldn't even say anything. You guys would know something changed in my life by what I was saying into this microphone.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
And I just put my feet up and laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, when I'm walking out of the door, I'd just be dropping hundreds behind me on the way out just to leave a lasting impression, right?
Yeah.
Just like, here you go, folks. Enjoy.
Yeah. You'd be like, Josh's attitude is different today.
Yeah, I wonder what's happened.
And then I could imagine I get about a minute and a half in before someone's taking me out of this room.
Love it.
That's how it would end.
I would hold the doors so no one could get in.
Just let me go?
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be pretty awesome. All right. We asked people how worried they are about the Avalanche. It's bad, Stoke.
Good. It should be bad. I like that.
I don't see it. I got to scroll through a few of these because you guys are coming in quick. But again, 303-713-1043. I don't see one that has them winning in round one. I don't see a single text here that has him getting out of the first round.
Well, against Winnipeg, Winnipeg's playing great hockey right now. They just beat the Avs 7-0.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who we're playing in the first round of the playoffs. That team right there. Just beat the Avs 7-0. Oh, and by the way, it was at Ball Arena. So I don't know how you can feel confident about the Avs right now. I mean, the goalie situation is a complete mess. And, you know, yeah, you can look at it and say, okay, we got McKinnon, McCarr, and, you know, Rantanen. I get it, but it just you need more, folks, right? And I think hockey fan knows that. Mm-hmm. And so hockey fans real, they understand it. I mean, I don't see them getting out of the first round either. I don't. I mean, there's no big run here, which is 3 weeks ago when they were on that heater and what, won 9 in a row.
Yeah, like, 9 straight.
Dude, this is, and now all of a sudden, I don't know how that happens. Val came back. He was looking great. He hadn't done anything. He had an assist, I think, yesterday. But you blow a 3-0 lead after losing 7-0 the night before. It's just something is off there. And I have no confidence at all that they can make a run in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't. I tend to feel what you feel. I'm trying to, you know what I'm doing, Silk? I'm almost talking myself into believing so much in Nathan McKinnon and so much in Cale Makar and so much in Mikko Rantanen. And for some weird reason, giving Val Nichushkin the benefit of the doubt, I'm like talking myself into doing those things. And that's what I'm going to do this entire week until this starts on what will be Saturday, and it will be up in Winnipeg there. That's all I have, is to try to talk myself into the best player in the world, and then, you know, three others that are inside the top 10, 15 top players in the world doing the heavy lifting, gearing up in the postseason, because I don't have that hope for Alexander Georgiev, and I think you'd be foolish to have that.
Well, I look at it differently. I look at it, I'm just going to be negative.
Okay.
No, seriously, I'm just going to be negative about the Avs.
Yeah.
And be the, like, they have no chance. They have no chance. And then hopefully, you know, they surprise me. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if they do get beat bad, it's like, okay, I knew it. I knew they're awful. Look at how they finished the year. They're awful. But if they go on a run, it's like such a pleasant surprise. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. That I can't look at it. I can't try to be optimistic about this group right now. I just can't. I just, like, it's so bad. And oh, by the way, somebody has them at over 105.5 points.
Yeah.
And they had a 3-0 lead going into the third yesterday. They won that game in regulation or overtime, right?
Yeah.
I win that bet.
Mm-hmm.
Season-long bet coming down the last game. How confident do I feel in it? Zero. A zero, just like how confident I felt in the Rockies when it came down to the last game of the year against the Dodgers. And they had a chance to get the over for me. Did they do it? No, of course they didn't. So I'm not counting on the Avs to beat the Oilers, or at least I just get to overtime.
Yeah.
Just get me to overtime, please. So that's going to be my view, though, of this team going in the playoffs.
Okay. Well, I think you got something working for you. Like, hockey doesn't do like basketball. You should see all the starters. This should be like all hands on deck on Thursday's regular season finale.
Oh, yeah?
Even though there's, right?
Promise?
Isn't that kind of how it feels in hockey?
Promise?
I think it's pretty likely that's how it's going to go down.
Drew is the guy that told me last week when I brought it up. You know, I'm like, all right, you know, I think I needed at that time like 4 points or something. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, you got it. Don't worry. Look at it. You got it. Didn't you tell me that, Drew?
I think I did. Yeah.
No, you don't think
yeah,
you did.
Yeah, I think
you
did.
You absolutely did.
Well, after the Minnesota game, everything looked like they kind of figured it out. And then,
it's
well,
like the word, you'd never say that, though.
Well,
you just don't. You got it. You know, no. You make me feel, don't make me feel so optimistic about it. Now here I'm sweating the last game of the season.
You know what he did? As your putt is rolling on the green, he yelled, that's in the hole.
Right.
And then you completely missed the
putt. And it never goes in.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Exactly that's what right. happened there.
Is that frowned upon still?
Yes, it is. Okay. You like,
I got to remember
then,
that.
And then don't be the guy. This is another Bearcat Jim. This is what he does. And I know he does it on purpose, right? And he knows it pisses me off. Right when I hit the ball, and the guy doesn't see very well to begin with, but right when I hit, he's like, oh, man, you killed that one. Great shot. I'm like, dude, I just hit it, and now all of a sudden it starts slicing, you know, towards the other fairway into the trees. Yeah. It's like, no, it wasn't a great shot. Or on a par three, it's like, oh, man, that looks good, and it's like 25 yards short. It's like, this dude is doing it on purpose.
Yeah, he is.
Don't be that guy, Bearcat.
Yeah, I gotta remember that, because I got that tendency in me as well.
Yeah,
so I'll
me nuts. Let the ball hit the ground first before you say good shot.
Yeah. there was one thing that came out of the Masters this weekend. I can't remember the golfer, but he was walking up on the tee box and, you know, he's getting cheers or whatever. And then you could just hear it slightly in the background. It's a woman. And she goes, "You hit my friend Deborah with your ball."
Oh, wow.
Did you guys see that?
No one saw that, dude.
I'll find it for you because we'll play it.
Did Deborah get a glove? That's all right.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
That is a very, very good question. She deserves one. That's for sure. All right. We'll take a timeout. I want to come back and keep the conversation going with the Broncos this time. We talked about mock drafts. Mel Kiper has his. Field Yates has his. They did a little combo mock draft. What do they have the Broncos coming home with? We'll tell you next.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, Stoke, we are a week away from draft week. This time next week, man, we'll start to really ramp up what's happening in the NFL and round one coming up on Thursday of next week. But we are seeing some of these mocks still kind of leak out. And in fact, a couple of the bigger names. Obviously, everybody knows Mel Kiper Jr. He's been doing this for 40-plus years. He's ESPN's dude. Field Yates is also a big name that does it with Mel and has mocks all over the internet. This morning, they came together. They combined their powers of mock drafting.
Oh, wow.
And they did a joint mock draft where, like, who went first? So Mel Kiper must have won the coin flip. He got the first pick, so that means Field Yates gets picked two, and then they're just rotating so on and so forth, right?
This used to be with McShay.
Yeah, yeah.
McShay's gone?
He's out.
Ah,
I don't know what happened to him, but he's no longer, because it was always Kiper and McShay.
Right, he got sick for a little bit. I know that,
okay.
But now he's out. Okay, I liked him.
I did too. I like Field Yates too, though. I think he's pretty good. So it goes every other, and your top three? It's quarterbacks, and it really hasn't changed much. It's Caleb going to Chicago, it's Jaden going to Washington, and it's Drake May going to New England. We've seen New England, Drake, JJ, it's kind of flip-flop back and forth a few times, but that's kind of been what it has since the regular season ended and we started to see these mocks. Then you go to four, Marvin Harrison Jr., we get our first trade coming up at five.
Okay.
This is Mel Kiper's pick, so Mel Kiper says the Minnesota Vikings will trade with the Los Angeles Chargers, and they will get J.J. McCarthy. The Chargers will get the 11th pick, the 23rd pick, and just one future first round. But still, that's more than the Denver Broncos can offer.
That's a good haul.
That's a real good haul
for them. All right.
You get two first round picks to move back seven spots.
Right.
Not even six spots because Minnesota's at 11.
That's right. So that's a really good return.
So now we have four quarterbacks off the board.
Okay.
Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. are the only ones that remain. New York doesn't go quarterback. They take a wide receiver. The Titans, it's kind of been mocked all along. Joe Alt, the tackle from Notre Dame. Falcons get an edge rusher. Bears get a wide receiver. You get to the Jets. They go with a tackle. Not Brock Bowers. They get a tackle. The Chargers now have moved back. They get another tackle. J.C. Latham out of Alabama. All right. Broncos are on the clock.
Yeah.
Bo Nix is available. Michael Penix Jr. is available.
Perfect. Taking Bo Nix.
Brock Bowers is also available.
Yeah, taking Bo Nix.
Okay. That's not what the Broncos do. According to Field Yates makes this pick now. It's Brock Bowers. They said to take a quarterback or not. That's the dilemma. I'm sure Denver is weighing it heavily. Ultimately, it felt a little too soon for me to go get Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr., and Bowers is a special prospect. He would instantly upgrade the entire passing game, no matter who was throwing him the ball.
Okay. Look, I'm not mad at that at all. I just don't think the Broncos are going to do that. I think the Broncos are taking a quarterback.
Okay.
I think the Broncos want people to think that they want J.J. McCarthy, and then now you had two mocks that had them taking Michael Penix Jr. I think it's Bo Nix for them. Mm. And so I think if Bo Nix is available at 12, they take Bo Nix at 12.
Okay.
But I'm not mad at taking Brock Bowers. I'm not. But eventually, you got to find your quarterback. So someone's got to throw the ball to Brock Bowers. I want a tight end that can actually catch the ball and make yards and score touchdowns. That would be nice in 2024 to have one of those guys. I would be thrilled to see that. That would be fun again, right?
Yes.
But I also want a quarterback. And so eventually you're going to have to try to find a quarterback. We don't have that quarterback on the roster. Breaking news. It's not Stidham or DiNucci, okay? It's just not. So are you going to try to hit the Powerball? I mean, I play the Powerball every now and then and try to hit. I never have, though.
No, yeah.
You know, unfortunately. So that's picking a quarterback in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round and hoping he turns out to be your next quarterback for the decade, right? That's a hard, hard thing to do. So hopefully they'll get lucky and be able to do that. But, you know, eventually you're going to have to swing at a pitch and swing at a quarterback.
Well, they don't have a second-round pick, right? We know that. They go 12, and then they're not on the clock again until 76 in the third round. But this mock between Mel Kiper and Field Yates, it actually gets you into three rounds. So it goes rounds one, two, and three. And to start round two, there's a quarterback trade made. It's not the Denver Broncos. It's the Los Angeles Rams that are actually going up to make a trade with the Carolina Panthers, and they select Michael Penix Jr. So now it's only Bo Nix of the top six quarterbacks that are available. We keep scrolling, and let's get down to the New York Giants, who make a trade with Tennessee. The Giants jump up to 38, get back in the second round early, and guess who they select? Bo Nix.
Wow. So they don't have him going until 38?
They don't have Michael Penix Jr. goes ahead of him, first pick in round two, and then, 38 when the Giants make a trade with Tennessee to go up and get their quarterback.
Wow. Okay.
So now they're gone. It's down to the Spencer Rattlers, the Michael Pratts, the Milton kid from Tennessee, but Denver doesn't have a second-round pick. In this mock, they don't have the Broncos trading up to go get anybody. But you go on to round number three, where Denver does set at number 76. And if you get to the Denver Broncos selection at number 76, they select Spencer Rattler out of the University of South Carolina. So with their first two picks, they're kind of checking some boxes for us. They're all offense. You go offense, offense, the best tight end in the draft, and you do get a quarterback. I feel like you're disappointed in this. Spencer Rattler.
I mean, look, I was thrilled when they drafted Jerry Jeudy. How'd that work out for all of us? Not good. So me being a little bit disappointed, I mean, maybe that ends up being a good thing, right? So, I mean, that's where I sit. You feel one way on draft day. That doesn't mean, you know, that it's going to work out how you envision it. I mean, you just don't know what it's going to look like. So you got to have a quarterback, got to find a quarterback. If he turns out to be a great quarterback, it's a home run, right? You got your tight end and you find your quarterback there in the third round. Absolutely love it. If it worked out that way and they both were end up being, you know, good players. So certainly you need a tight end. You need to upgrade around the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Brock Bowers would do right there for you. So I look at it and say, if it plays out that way, I think that's when you see a trade for Zach Wilson.
So then DiNucci goes away?
Yeah. DiNucci goes away, and then that's your quarterback room. Stidham, Spencer Rattler, and Zach Wilson. That would be your quarterback room. Or could be someone else. I keep saying Zach Wilson, just, I don't know, because he's a younger quarterback. Yeah. So I think you look at him, you could say if you're Sean Payton, hey, I think I can get the most out of this guy. He has the talent. It was a bad situation there with the Jets. But it also could be your guy, Ryan Tannehill, or someone else like that, a veteran type of guy. I think they would trade a fifth, sixth, seventh rounder for Zach Wilson at that point if you don't get that quarterback in the first round.
Well, let's do this because I want to keep this conversation going. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask Broncos Country a question. We'll come back and react. First, would you be okay with not selecting a quarterback if it meant Brock Bowers at 12? And if it is the situation where Spencer Rattler comes to Denver in the third round, what's that room look like? Who wins that starting job? Zach Wilson, Jared Stidham, and Spencer Rattler. Who would you want to see rolled out as Broncos QB1 week one? Tell us at 303-713-1043, ramoslaw.com text line, and we'll give you our answers next.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Segment on a Monday. Zach Byer and Philip Lindsay coming in here at 2 o'clock. They're the drive, and they will get you home tonight. You got any final thoughts? We asked you how you felt about this mock that we're talking about, where the Broncos take Brock Bowers at 12 and then Spencer Rattler in at 76. It's Field Yates and it's Mel Kiper Jr. that have put the list together. Tell us on the RamosLaw.com text line. You can do it right there. A lot of folks love Bowers. I think you and I are in that camp. Like we love Brock Bowers. And if he is, you know, coming here and he's your automatic best weapon in the passing game, and I don't know, Cortland Sutton obviously had a solid year a year ago, but TBD what it looks like with new quarterback and everything that changed. I love the idea of Brock Bowers, and it sounds like a lot of Broncos country is on board.
Absolutely. We need a lot of good football players. That's the bottom line, right? And we've been needing a tight end forever, for so long. And so if that can check those boxes, and it's like, okay, that would be great. So I'm about drafting good football players. And if you think it's a reach to draft a Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. in that situation, all the other guys are gone, then give me a good football player, right? I don't want to pick a quarterback just to pick a quarterback. You know, that's a bad philosophy. You got to like the guy, obviously. You got to love him. And so if there's one or two left there and you don't love them, then you know, move on to the next best thing and let's go get a good football player. And if that's Brock Bowers, shoot. I've been saying tight end forever.
Yeah,
and hopefully that can, you know, we can check that box for the next decade.
And we asked you about quarterback room as well. If it is Brock Bowers and it does end up Spencer Rattler and Stoke, I want you and I to kick this around. You say you go get Zach Wilson. So the quarterback room looks like Zach Wilson, Jared Stidham, and the rookie that is Spencer Prattler. Is it a full-on open competition for who the starter is? Stidham has a little bit of a leg up just for being here and playing in the two games that he did last year, but I don't know how far ahead Jared Stidham is and Zach Wilson or even a Spencer Rattler when he comes in and hits the ground running.
Yeah, three-man competition.
It's open, right?
Let's do it. Oh, I mean, why not?
Here we go again.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, two didn't work out well, so let's do three, right?
Just add another one.
Yeah. Can't be any worse than Sanchez versus, who was it, Kisner?
Simeon and Paxton.
And Sanchez was in one of those. Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, that was the first one.
Competing against, who was he competing against? Simeon. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, can't be any worse than how those turned out for us. So let's add one more to the mix and, you know, maybe we'll find our quarterback of the future.
Third time's the charm. Third quarterback's the charm.
Exactly.
This time around.
Yes.
I didn't watch a ton of Spencer Rattler. I know he got some love for the Senior Bowl because he played the most, so he got more opportunities than everybody. And it's, I don't know, I always thought the Senior Bowl was about the week of and not about the game itself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. More about the practice and how you do competing in practice. So the game is secondary.
19 touchdowns for Spencer this year.
Obviously, he started off at Oklahoma. A lot of hype around him. He was a Heisman Trophy, you know, favorite one year, and just it didn't go well for him. And then Caleb Williams came in. They made the change, and he transferred to South Carolina. He 2 years ago, they had a really good year. And then this past year, it wasn't quite the same. I didn't watch a lot of him, like you said. So, but, you know, he was a highly recruited high school quarterback and started off really good. And, you know, you take flyers on guys like that, you know, has some potential, and that's why he's going to the third round, because obviously there are some things that he needs to work on and improve on.
One texter likes Michael Penix Jr., wants the Broncos to get them, and they actually, I think they are accusing you maybe of being like some sort of double secret agent.
Oh!
Basically saying you're hating on Penix so that there's not a lot of love around Penix, and the Broncos can select him and kind of fly under the radar.
Yeah, I was thinking they were going to do that about Bo Nix.
Okay, so you are a double secret agent. But it's the wrong agenda here,
right? But it could be Penix Jr. and they could be, you know, getting me. Right?
Oh, right.
This could be all just like, I think they're setting this thing up for Bo Nix, but they could be setting it up actually for Michael Penix Jr., mm-hmm. right? So certainly that could be the play here. For some reason, I'm not thinking it's JJ.
Well, I just think they're out. I don't think they have what it takes to go get him.
Yeah, I don't know. Sean Payton said they did. He thinks they do.
Yeah.
So... I just think there's too much talk about moving up to like four or five, and that means you're going to move up there to get your quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that why would they be talking about it so much? Why would it be out there? And why would, you know, our guy from Minnesota,
Paul Allen.
Paul Allen keep talking about it. Like, where's he getting his – why? Do I – no, it's too much mm-hmm. for me. And that's all like, look over here, but then they're going to come over here, right? And to me, that was Bo Nix, but it could be Michael Penix Jr., certainly. It definitely could. Where you just stay pat there, and all of a sudden that guy just falls to you, you're like, got him. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I think is happening here, but I thought it was happening for Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr., but it could be Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, we'll see what it looks like. We both love Brock Bowers. And as another texter puts, well, you got to have somebody to throw him the football, and that is the goal in the 2024 draft.
Yeah, I think too, when you look at the situation, it's there's been so much talk about J.J. McCarthy, and then like they had us trading, they had the trade being with the Chargers, right? And so all of a sudden, I think the Broncos want the Vikings to think that they're. Want J.J. McCarthy.
So you got to go use that.
Right. So then they become very, very aggressive to move up and get J.J. McCarthy. Well, then what happens? That leaves one of their quarterbacks that they really like.
Yeah.
Whether it be Penix or Bo Nix, now available for them. Right. So it seems like that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get someone to move up ahead.
Okay.
And spend assets and take a quarterback, and that quarterback would be probably J.J. Mm-hmm. McCarthy. That's where all signs are pointing. And the Broncos are like, perfect. Thank you, because we didn't want him. We like the other two. That's the way this feels to me for some reason. It's like a master class in psychology.
Yeah.
And that's what I excelled at the University of Louisiana Lafayette.
Some psychology?
A lot of that.
Yeah.
Not geology.
No.
Certainly not geology. My wife, she was doing really good in that class.
Yeah.
Until she cheated for me.
That's right.
And then
but she copied your psychology homework.
Yes, exactly.
That's a two-way street.
I think that's what she got her degree in, too.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, but I helped her out there.
So you're kind of my psychologist every day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it works out pretty well.
It does.
This is totally unrelated, but I saw it on the text line, and I can't stop thinking about it. Someone asked if we saw the drone footage of a Masters golfer taking a pee on the backside of a green.
No.
It's Augusta. You can't really, you know, like when I'm up at Highland Hills, I'm probably going to take a pee somewhere on the course, but
yeah.
Augusta?
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, you can't do that. It was a golfer or was it a fan?
That's what the text was saying. I didn't see
golfer,
it either.
Right?
Yeah, a golfer.
They have like rest. They have like porta potties for those guys.
Oh, yeah. So why wouldn't you just wait and walk to one of those?
Right. Exactly.
Maybe it was a drunk fan patron.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see it.
Okay.
I didn't see it at all.
All right. Well, that's the latest coming out of the dual mocks from Field Yates and Mel Kiper Jr. Like I said, as this week goes on, we'll start to see more of these, and we'll start to talk a bit more about them. In fact, we'll even do our own mocks coming up sooner rather than later here on the show. Little, you know, Yates versus Kiper. We got a Stokely versus Dover mock coming up here.
How about that?
That'll be pretty fun, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Real fast. Did you see the weekend that Tom Brady talking? He was on a podcast. And he's talking about returning to play if a team called him. And end of the season, it's a playoff team. Quarterback went down, and they just need somebody. There's now odds on it.
Oh, wow.
As to what team he's going to join, the favorite is the Las Vegas Raiders.
Wow.
You think Tom Brady would come back at all? And Tom said it himself here. Like, I don't know what the rules are even. Like, he's going to be a broadcaster. He's still trying to get his foot in the door in ownership groups.
Right.
Like, would Tom ever come back?
I don't know. I wouldn't put anything past him. But, like, once you kind of step away for over a year, and look, he stays in good shape, right? I mean,
yeah.
But It's just it's like, okay, what are you doing now? Now he's talking about you come back for the playoffs, you got two or three games to play and help a team that's probably a pretty good team to try to win a championship. I don't know. I just to me that's a big step. That's a big leap. Especially like, are you doing football drills? Or are you just working out to stay in shape? Mm. And then you got to go to a situation where you don't know the playbook. You know, you don't know the playbook at all. You got to try to learn the playbook. I mean, that's I don't see that happening at all. Obviously, the odds would be very long for him to come back because a quarterback's got to get hurt, first of all, and for him to have that opportunity. But I just think that it's probably over. You look at the broadcast and stuff he's doing, like you said, wants to be, a partial owner there in Vegas. I just think the rules prohibit all of those things. And
real quick, KKFN, KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. We were way over.
Son of a gun. I just was not even just – the days just flew by. I just thought it was like 12 o'clock, man. Yeah. You know, we were just having so much fun. So I got – just caught slipping on a Monday.
Nice.
What can I say?
All goodness, right.
That was the longest we've had.
Yeah, we were 18 seconds over.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Guess they're just looking at us like
– any day now.
Yeah. Bueller. You had me rambling on Tom Brady, and I was locked in. So, but I don't see that happening.
All right. Yeah, I don't either. It was, by the way, Raiders. That's why we said it. The Raiders are in the division. Obviously, they're the favorite. The Patriots are the next best favorite. Then the Bucks and the 49ers rounded out there. The Jets are way down there at plus 2,000. But that's what it's looking like for Tom Brady. All right, before we tell you what we're watching, what we like this evening, got to tell you about the Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips. We're doing it again. Sport Clips doing it again. The Fan Flyaway is back, this time sending one lucky listener and a guest to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship that goes down in June. What you're going to get is two tickets to the game, round-trip airfare from Denver to wherever the game may be played, and two nights hotel stay. You need some money while you're there, right? How about $500 coming your way? That is what is on the line at the Fan Flyaway that you could win and bring a lucky guest. So go to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register. You can claim your special prize from Sport Clips right there. And if you've already registered, you don't have to do it again, but go tell everybody because it does have a plus one, and perhaps you are that plus one if they win. So denversports.com/thefanflyaway. Go register today. All right. Somebody asked earlier if they said that they have a round of golf scheduled. Oh, who was it? With some celebrity, Warren Sapp. And they want you to go, too.
I'm good. Thank you. Okay. Appreciate the offer.
Oh, you know what? I'll go for him.
Yeah. You can take Dover. But I appreciate the offer.
That wasn't on the text. It wasn't like, if Stokely can't go, Josh is invited.
Yeah.
It was a direct invitation to Stokely and Stokely only.
Well, I don't know. Like, it's just hard to get on everyone's schedule, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing there. Mm-hmm. So they sound good, but it usually never happens. So that's why I say that. It'd be fun, though.
Yeah.
Well, tell me the course. I don't know. You never know.
Well, so you get those opportunities to go play golf with Warren Sapp.
Right.
I just mentioned Highland Hills. That's my side of town. Shout out to the Chonchos. They own the clubhouse stuff. So, hey, Josh, you just said Highland Hills. I got a hookup if you want to play golf up there.
There you go. Look at you.
So you're playing with Warren Sapp, and I'm up in Highland Hills.
Perfect.
On the gold course.
Yes.
I'm down, dude.
Absolutely.
I'll get you up to Highland Hills one of these days.
Yeah, one day.
Yeah, one of these days it'll happen. All right, Stoke, what gets your attention this evening?
Well, I can tell you what I'm not watching.
Okay, tell
me. That's the Colorado Rockies, so I know that right now.
Yeah.
No Nuggets. Well, it's like, goodness, no Nuggets for like almost a whole week, for 5 days. No Avs. That's probably a good thing.
They need their rest.
They do. So I don't know. What else do we have going on here?
Well, you can watch every baseball team if you're into that.
No.
Our Braves are going to start a series with the Astros.
Okay. That should be a good series then.
It'd be fun there. They took two or three from Miami this weekend.
No NBA at all tonight.
Nothing tonight.
So, tonight's a low-key, quiet night in sports with basketball regular season being over, play-in games about to start, Masters just got done with. So, Avs struggling, and they don't play again till what, Thursday?
Thursday night is the regular season finale.
So we're, like, stuck. It's like either you're stuck with the Rockies.
Yeah.
That's it. Like,
that's right.
You know, it's like prom day. Like, no, she said no. She's going with Bob and that no. And no, it's like, dang, I don't know about Sarah. Dang, I don't know. I'm just going to go solo. Screw it. Hey, Rusty, me and you, buddy, get that Jeep Grand Cherokee fired up, baby. Me and you running the streets together, right? That's what ends up happening. So guess what? I ain't watching the Rockies, so just not happening. I'll let you tell me how it goes. You tell me about the two or three plays that look like the Bad News Bears.
You had that analogy really locked and loaded. You were ready to go on that one.
Yeah, it just came. It just happened naturally.
Had the name ready.
That's right.
Yeah. A couple names were real names. A couple weren't. You got to decide.
I like it.
Zach Black-Phillips is sliding in. What's up, boys?
How we doing?
Doing great.
We're doing good, man. We were... a little worried after Friday night's Nuggets loss, and we had a good, sports talk therapy session here today that they're the 2 seed. We're feeling okay, and then we lost our minds when it came to the Avalanche.
How y'all feel about the Nuggets?
Great.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
They got put in a good situation.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think that who they're going to play, where they are, you want to be number one. All right, yeah, of course. But number two, well, who we possibly could play, I'm okay with it. And you got the Suns. I'm sorry, Zach.
No.
Sorry I had to cut you off.
No.
Suns and the Timberwolves playing against each other. Let them knock each other off.
Yeah.
And the Timberwolves have struggled mightily with Phoenix. So your biggest adversary that we have kind of agreed that could be Minnesota, their biggest bugaboo in the last few years that we just saw is Phoenix. So, man, this actually... Outside of just how frustrating the game was on Friday night, and everyone had a right to be frustrated or angry or upset, or however you want a fan being a fan. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it just from the utilitarian, what are the seeds? Who are we playing? How impactful is going from one to number two? Thank goodness Minnesota lost. That would have been a bad scenario if in the second round you're going on the road to Minnesota. So I believe that they were helped mightily. The fact that they're the 2 seed, I feel great.
If they were the 3 seed, it would have been a complete disaster, epic meltdown, terrible way for this thing to play out at the end of the season.
Yes.
Exactly how I view it. Phil, same way there?
I view it like that, too, especially how they showed up and got smacked against the Spurs. Right? It was the Spurs,
yeah,
right?
On Friday night, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was ugly, but not nearly as ugly as the Colorado Avalanche. I feel like 2022, Brandon Stokely. That's what I feel like.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I am.
And how did that work out for us?
It worked out great.
Right. So that's what I'm hoping.
That's the hope. But it's not
happening this year, though.
As fans will remember, before they went on that cup run, they lost 6 of their last 7 games, and they did not look good. The difference is, everything. Everything.
And if you
are not concerned, you are either one of the wild, only good news all the time, or you, I don't know, if you're watching, it's painful. It's painful in goal. It's painful defensively. It's dreadful on the penalty kill. Mm. I mean, I don't need the numbers. I'm watching the game. It's bad. Look like the worst penalty kill team that I've seen this last 2 weeks. So
we're all worried. Like we feel the same way. I told Stoke, I'm like trying to convince myself that because of 22 and because McKinnon's still on the ice and Miko's still there and Kale's still there, and then maybe Val returns to who he was back then during those runs. Like they can turn it on, but that's literally me attempting to talk it into myself.
Yeah, you're manufacturing
it. Yeah.
You're not reacting to what you're seeing.
Yes.
If you're reacting to what you're seeing and you're honest what your eyes are telling you, if you know what you're looking at, the Avs could be a first round exit.
Something seems off. Like behind the scenes, like something that I don't know. They had the Val situation, he came back, they were playing great, the trade deadline additions. It just seemed like this was a perfect match and it was going so well. Like 9 in a row.
I know.
We can't forget that.
I know.
And then all of a sudden it looks like I don't know what happened, right? Val's not playing the same, and it just seems like something is up with that group, and I don't know how all of a sudden you get it flipped around and turned around in the playoffs and get it going when you're playing a team that just beat you 7-0 in your place.
And it's not just those. It's not just the 7-0. They got beat by Winnipeg 6-2. They've been beat 4-2. Add up the score, unless I'm missing something because I did it on a walk. Okay,
I have it too, so hopefully we're the same.
Did you already say it on the air?
No.
Okay. I believe the combined score this year against Winnipeg is 17-4.
Yeah. Yeah.
17
goals for Winnipeg, 4 goals for the high-powered Colorado Avalanche. I'm deeply concerned. And here's another thing, and you can save this audio. you will see Eustace Annunen in goal in the first round. Whoa. You will see him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't see how you couldn't see him after what we've seen with Georgie. And because there is the leash is so short right now for him, right? Yeah. I mean, Bednar's not going to say, we'll give you another one in that. Like, if it's a bad two quarters, it's a close game. Yep. Yeah, period. Sorry, hockey fan's going to get pissed at Stoke.
I'm trying to protect you.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you.
You already knew. After all these years,
you already knew what was going to happen.
I thought I was the only one. I feel good.
He held my hand a little bit also.
I got a bone to pick with Val, though. Man, it's funny. Oh, yeah, because it's just funny how when it's time, when big times come around, okay, Val wasn't there last year. Okay, during this time when we got hot, Val wasn't here. He was in rehab. Yeah. Now we're starting to get back to the nitty-gritty, and Val has not been here. He's been on the ice, but he's still been MIA. So something's up with that situation. It's kind of irritating on top of Georgiev.
I like it.
Yeah, well said.
Val has one goal in the last 10 games. You want to hear the penalty kill numbers? Because I went back because I'm like, this is disturbing as I'm watching it. So what does it actually look like? Vegas had 3 power play opportunities, scored on 2 of them. Winnipeg had 3 power play opportunities, they scored on 2 of them. The Minnesota Wild had 5 power play opportunities, scored on 2 of them. Dallas had 3 power play opportunities, scored on all 3. That is in the last 14 games. 14 opportunities to kill a penalty in the last 4 games. They have given up 9 power play goals in 4 games.
That's crazy.
And so you could just, kind of like if you go into an NFL game, like the most reduced to its simplest form, like who's got the better coach and who's got the better quarterback? Mm-hmm. And if you pick games like that more oftentimes than not, you'd get a lot of them right. If you just went into a hockey game and said, who's got better special teams and who's got better goaltending? And the Avs suck right now in both.
Yeah. It's, and the Matt Davis, the DU goalie, but he's expecting him to walk through that door.
He's so a bad dude.
He is absolutely a legend. He shouldn't have to do anything for himself in this city again, but
he's still playing parties.
He can't sign with the Avalanche and play in the postseason. He can sign and play like Thursday against Edmonton, but he's uneligible to play because he's undrafted.
Undrafted, right. And that's why Kale was able to transition quickly.
They had his rights.
Yeah, right.
And so, the thing with Val, though.
So he's undrafted right now, huh?
So you could sign him.
He didn't get drafted.
He did not
you
get drafted.
You could sign him, but he can't play.
But
the
I mean, like you were saying earlier, I mean, that was his best stretch was when it mattered most, which is great.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like he played like that all season long. Right. So to think that he's going to come in and lead the Avs to the cup, this is the majors.
The pioneers.
Right? I mean, let's pump our brakes. But just for Val, like when he came back, he was actually really good.
Yeah, he scored like the first 3 games, right?
Exactly. He had 1 point, 3 points, 1 point, 0 points, 2 points, 1 point. So that was like a 6-game stretch right when he came back. And it's like, all right, here we go. Here is Val. And he was such an important part of the cup run. And he was so good. Besides Kadri, he could have been the best player out on the ice there for him. Yep. And then all of a sudden here recently, now he did get a point last game. I got it. But it just hasn't looked the same. No. And they need him in a big way to play big if there's any chance for them to make any kind of
run. We all have this the Nuggets are going to turn it on. I think collectively we all feel that way. And none of us feel that way about the Avalanche.
See, I felt like that at the beginning, though. Like, I even when the Avs were down and they would turn it on and end up winning the games, I felt like they had that factor to do that. Mm-hmm. But right now, they're just like fish in the water, dead fish in the water right now.
Yeah, and you're referencing those comeback wins, and we've talked about them even when they were happening. It's like, this is not necessarily healthy.
This is not good.
And then you start fast, like they did yesterday, and give it all back.
Yep.
And I want to tell you, like Stokely just said a second ago, he said, this is the majors, talking about Matt Davis, and obviously I totally understand where he's coming from. You look at that first goal that Vegas scored, the wraparound, that's a goal that you'd get like AHL. That's an AHL goal that is a not a good goal at that level. So it's like, it's the majors, and obviously you're right, Matt Davis is going to come in here and play. But some of these goals they're giving up are for the minors.
Guess who has over on the Avs season total at 105.5?
Oh my gosh! What? Yeah. Are they at 105?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Again. Remember you again with the Rockies? I had it with the Rockies, and now I got it with the Avs. Now I got it with the Avs. You already know what's going to happen against Edmonton. I can already tell you what's going to happen.
Stokes
have no chance to win.
So are you going to hedge it?
I don't know yet.
Because then you're going to get yourself in really big trouble. Because if I know you, it's one of those season-long bets. It ain't like a Monday night or Tuesday night. It's a big boy bet. That's a big boy bet.
What would you do? Just real quick, what would you do? What do you do? Just let it ride, or do you try to hedge it and get some of your money back?
Let it ride.
You got to let it ride.
Let it ride.
Got to. That's
Zach
what
loves
I'm doing.
Always let it ride.
Let it ride. Yeah. Yeah. Let
especially
it ride.
When it's not his money.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go all in.
Just let us know how it goes. All right. So much to get into here on a Monday. And just how badly were the Nuggets title chances impacted after what took place over the weekend? That's where we'll start coming up next.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.